The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the apostles approached Jesus and said, Where do you want us to prepare the Passover feast for you? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, The teacher says, My appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples. The disciples then did as Jesus ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, Surely it is not I, Lord. He said in reply, He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, Surely it is not I, Rabbi. He answered, You have said so. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today is traditionally called Spy Wednesday, and it's due to the fact that this is the day when Judas kind of conspires to hand Jesus over. The name Spy Wednesday is a little odd because Judas isn't really a spy. You know, he's a betrayer. But anyway, whatever. Spy Wednesday is a traditional thing. So here we are, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about the struggle that we have sometimes in the church with priests. And I want to do that, but before I get into that specifically, I'd like to do something that which will maybe focus on those of us who are here for a moment. When Jesus says, one of you will betray me, it's interesting the way they respond. And it is not the typical way that a modern Christian, a modern person would typically respond. We would say, well, who is this terrible person? Of course, not me, but I mean, not even thinkable. I'm thinkable that I'm basically a good person. I'm a decent chap. I'm a decent fellow, and I would never be me. I mean, that's kind of the way a typical modern person who, after years of being told sin isn't a really big deal, and don't worry, I'm okay, you're okay, the average modern person would basically say, look, you know, it couldn't be me, but who would it be? Whereas they respond, surely it is not I, Lord. They're more, I think, in touch with their own capacity to do something this awful. Now, again, this isn't some sort of self-denigrating, self-deprecating sort of a thing, but just simply a sober appreciation that we, if we're not careful, can end up doing some things that are pretty awful. Now, most modern people are just not in touch with this. They just don't think that they're up to. And when they do terrible things, they go into therapy instead of say, "Well, look, man, I did something wrong." I mean, I'm not saying therapy is wrong, but there isn't really any reason to go, into a real soul searching mode about the possibility of sin in our lives. Now, again, hopefully, many of us in this chapel are exceptions to what I'm saying. But the first thing we just have to say is that I don't think an average modern person would respond this way, surely it is not I, Lord. So I find it a remarkable thing that that they're this in touch with their own capacity. Surely it is not I, Lord. As though it could be. That's sort of an observation I'd like to make. And again, the exhortation would simply be that I think all of us need to have, without some horrible sense of ourself, but just a good, sober understanding that, yes, all of us would have the capacity to do something, to betray the Lord, or to hand him over, or to deny him, or all the other things that we're going to talk about with these first priests and just at this point. Now, here we have, again, perhaps a moment to reflect, too, therefore, on what I might call the sins of priests. We see here a portrait, not only of Judas, but also of the others who are present. These first priests, you know, we see in our Catholic theology and in Christian tradition, in the call of the 12 apostles, these first 12 men, we see the origins of the priesthood. And it is therefore something for us to reflect on today regarding what went wrong with these 12 men. Because we have come through an era where there's been a great focus on the sins of priests. Now, in particular, a specific sin, namely the sexual abuse of young people. I think that we should also broaden the idea here that although we focused a lot on that particular sin, that there are certainly many other sins that priests commit, which are very, very few priests have committed that horrible and atrocious sin. The more common sins of priests are just insensitivity, perhaps a harsh word, maybe not showing up at important times, like when someone is sick in the hospital. We see that there are just weaknesses and struggles that every priest, we're human, and we have our struggles and our ups and our downs, like any other human being. But nevertheless, these are sins. They need to be called what they are. Maybe they're sins of omission, maybe they're sins of commission, but they're sins. Now, let's first of all accept the fact that this was present even in the first band of apostles. We might say these men had their issues. they were a struggling group. They struggled to understand Jesus. They were famous for their inept responses. Jesus would teach about humility, and the next thing you know, they're arguing about who's the greatest. You know, I mean, it's just they had their issues. Some of them had ambition. Judas, of course, was greedy. Peter was made bold proclamations, but couldn't come through. We see, of course, that Thomas was famous for asking doubting questions, and all of these. These struggles as we look at these priests. But here we are at the Last Supper is the scene before us today. And Judas, of course, is about to go out and betray the Lord to commit a horrible sin against the body of Christ. And some priests have sinned gravely, very gravely. I'm not just talking about the ordinary foibles that I was just mentioning, but here we now have a man who went horribly, horribly wrong. And as I say, sins against the body of Christ, the very person of Christ. And some priests have gone horribly, horribly wrong. We see through sexual abuse, there's also been problems with embezzlement. There's been other issues and struggles that we've seen in the church where some priests have not just simply struggled with ordinary sins, but with horrible and very, very serious sins. Now, the first thing to say is that as horrible as these things are, I think that we need to understand that they're to be expected. We're dealing, anytime you've got a group of human beings, you're going to expect things. It's just the nature of things. I think sometimes the outrage when priests sin is understandable, but at another level we have to, I think, also understand that here among the first priests, one of them, one twelfth of them, went horribly, horribly wrong. And this is therefore something that we say, well, we need to do a better job of picking men who go to the seminary and are ordained. Yes, we do. We do. We need to screen them carefully. We need to do psychological analyses of them. We need to observe them carefully in their formation. And we need to do a very good job. However, even Jesus picked one who went horribly, horribly wrong. Now, again, you say, well, he knew that, and it was part of the picture. Yeah, I understand, but I'm just going to say to you that however perfect our screening process for men who are ordained is, we're just probably never going to be completely airtight. And I simply say that 1/12 of the apostles went horribly wrong. So we see that these things are going to probably happen in the priesthood, whether we like it or not. Now, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to say, well, this is, you know, no, a big deal, and brush my hand and, you know, in the air, and just say, well, let's go on to the next topic. I'm just going to say that we just again have to have a kind of a sobriety that yes, even in the leaders of the church, things like this do happen, and unfortunately, very unfortunately, cause great harm. Now, we see what Judas did. He went out, he betrayed the Lord. I'd also like to get back to some of the other apostles and say that if we're just staying here at the table for a moment, though, what I'd like to also take note of is, again, another kind of inept response. Jesus has made a very important announcement. I mean, just think about it. One of you is going to betray me. And again, remarkable response. Is it I? In other words, surely it is not I. And so we see that. But then eventually it gets around to Judas, and Jesus very clearly indicates to everyone at table who it is. It's Judas. And what do we find? No response. And when Judas actually gets up to go out and betray the Lord, there's really no... Stop him! I mean, he's probably the one. And even if Jesus was a little ambiguous, I mean, you would have thought they would have really worked to get to the bottom of this, right? Hello? So one of the other really big sins that we discovered with the sexual abuse scandal was the looking the other way kind of behavior that went on in the church, among the bishops and some of the other clergy. I mean, again, we often hear today about how awful the bishops were. They should have known better, and they reassigned these men. And granted all that. But I also wonder about some of the brother priests who were on the scene, who must have noticed odd behaviors, who had some idea. And maybe it wasn't even about the sexual abuse scandal. Maybe it was about embezzlement, money not being counted, probably, you know, things going on where, you know, the priest was, you know, living way beyond his means, and never raising questions, never talking, never going to a brother, never correcting him, and all of these sorts of things, that the kind of sins of omission that just sort of pile up in situations like this, where people look the other way, they don't really follow up. As someone is doing great harm to the body of Christ, one of the priests is doing great harm to the body of Christ, and almost nothing is said. The corrections are not made, and the harm continues, you see. And yet here it is, right here at the Last Supper. See what I'm saying? And again, I'm not trying to say, oh, well, therefore this is bound to happen, and don't worry about it. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I want you to notice that these sorts of things are sort of endemic in the human situation. And rather than just brush the hand and say, well, therefore let's just ignore the whole thing, just the opposite. We need to be even more vigilant. For example, if I were with a group of brother priests, to be able to say to my brother priest, we need to really be vigilant when we notice one of us is beginning to go wrong. Maybe he's drinking too much. Maybe there's problems with, there's noticing problems with the finances in a parish, and so on. We need to sort of take action and say, look, man, you know, let's get this thing right. If you need to get help, let's get the help you need. Or if he needs to be removed from the priesthood, you know, remove him. You see, this is the kind of stuff that needs to happen. But notice it didn't even happen here. Judas gets up, and with impunity, he just walks right out the door and goes to betray Christ. And they, here, if you read one of the other Gospels, you find out one of the reasons they're distracted is they get into another debate about who is the greatest. Okay, so there it is. So here we have what you might call the sins of priests. And I'm not trying to pick on my brother priests, but since, you know, again, we have here all of these men are the first priests and so on, I thought it might be good to ask you today to pray for priests. On this Spy Wednesday, when one of the priests goes horribly wrong, but it's not just the one priest who goes horribly wrong, but it's the others who are, you know, distracted, not paying attention to the situation, are allowing bad things to happen, or allowing one of their own number to commit an atrocity, and really doing very little, very focused on their own struggles about who's the greatest, and debates at the table, and all kinds of stuff. And meanwhile, someone goes out and does great harm. I just simply ask you to pray for priests. You know, and again, although I'm talking about priests right now, of course, this goes on in corporate America. This goes on in families. This goes on, you know, so I don't want to just say, well, you know, all of you who are lay people are sitting here having to listen to me talk as I kind of scratch my chin and wonder about the priesthood. This is something for you to think about in your own situations as well, too. This is the human situation. We sometimes expect, well, this shouldn't happen in the church or in the priesthood, but, well, as long as you got human beings, this kind of stuff's going to be going on. And so I would just say to you, sometimes, you know, let's get back to sexual abuse for a minute. I tell you, the incident of sexual abuse is highest not in the church, but in the family. This is where it happens. This is the vast majority of cases. And again, what's going on? Well, all the stuff I just said to you. Someone's gone horribly wrong, or is doing something horrible, and many other people are... very often, I'm not saying in every case, but just looking the other way, or not paying attention, or not vigilant to the signs of inappropriate boundaries and things that are beginning to happen. So again, I just ask you to pray not just for priests, but for all of us who are in the human situation. Likewise in the workplace, embezzlements, all kinds of injustices and other issues going on, and... yes, also sexual intrigue, all kinds of stuff happening, and just lots of looking the other way, none of my business, and meanwhile, great harm is inflicted on the body of Christ. So, much to pray about today. So here we are in Holy Week. Be with the Lord. What became of Judas? Did he go to hell? And the church has never ruled on anyone being in hell. We do declare some people saints, but we don't declare some people ain'ts. we do, however, have grave concern, I think, for Brother Judas here. There's a lot of sympathy for Judas today because it would seem that he was sorrowful for what he had done. And yet, he was sorrowful unto himself and committed suicide. But I think there's a lot of sympathy for Judas. He had a role to play. He played the role. He was sorrowful for what he did. He was so sad that he went and killed himself. And so a lot of people today just kind of say, poor Judas, he's a poor guy, you know, and we're sort of sympathetic. But on the other hand, Jesus is far less sympathetic. And it is interesting, we don't know that Judas is in hell, so I want to say that for sure. But it would seem not good for Brother Judas, because it says here, it is better for this man that he never been born. That's what Jesus says about Judas. Better that he had never been born. Now, let me just ask you to reason with me. Could you ever say that of a person, no matter how bad their life, if they repented and eventually found their way to glory and to be with God forever, could you say that it would be better they had never been born? You see what I'm saying? Anyone who makes it to heaven, you could never say better that they had never been born. So, I just... think that again, we just need to be, again, have kind of a sober, as much as our emotional, we want to have the happy ending. We Americans love our happy endings. As much as we want the happy ending, I would just say that again, we just need to have a kind of a sobriety here, that this is a very, very serious thing that leads Judas, likely, I can't say for sure, but it would seem likely led him to hell. Let's also then not make light about some of the other sins in the human condition. Sins of priests, sins in our families. Let's not make light of this stuff. This is serious stuff. This is stuff to be sober about. And let's trust God and ask Him to help us to really take seriously the things that we observe. Amen. Amen.